according to our consciousness, according to our Sanskrit language, guna and karma, but according to our consciousness, configurations of matter are established. We change our consciousness, we'll change the configuration of matter, we'll change the problem. We're creating the problem for ourselves, you know, collectively, by the consciousness that we carry. If the standard of happiness, just following this, if the standard of happiness is more and control and own, and that's going to be happiness. I just have to get more, and that's going to mean happiness. It's not so. Studies show more means more conflicts within and conflicts outside. So, just like these students that said they had, they're hearing a whole semester of it and they're not ready to change. So what's the standard of happiness? What do I need for happiness? If I'm missing, my point is, if I'm missing that happiness within, I'm going to be looking for that happiness without. It's another paradigm. And looking for happiness without, one, I'll never be satisfied because my real identity isn't touched. And I'm inviting unnatural and conflicting situations. More leads to more conflict and unnatural clashes between individuals that otherwise would be very happy and peaceful together. If we change our consciousness, we can change the problem. Another way of saying the same thing is, if we have an object that's casting a shadow, we could try to manipulate the shadow, but the problem is the position of the object. We need to reposition the object, and the object is our consciousness. This configuration of matter over here is the reflection of our state of consciousness. Like, here's a Vedic statement. This human form of life is meant for self-realization. Suppose we don't use the human form of life for self-realization. We use it for something else. It's going to be an ugly configuration of matter over there, because it's not what's meant to do. Or, here's another one. I know what I should be doing, but I don't do it, because I can't control my mind. How often is that? Is there anyone in the room that could say, we've thought, contemplated carefully some situation we feel would be good for us, we should do this? We don't do it. Or the other way around, something that's not wholesome, it's not good for me. I thought it through very carefully, I've looked at it from all different angles, I shouldn't do it, and we keep doing it. What's that? It's this configuration of matter over here. In this little yoga retreat, I use this example of a magnifying glass. So, perhaps everybody here in the room has done this at one time when they were kids. You get a magnifying glass and you hold it before the sun, and you get the light of the sun that's everywhere to focus on some piece of paper or leaf or something, and you have to get it in the right position. And you hold it there for a while. And what happens? It gets hot. And then there's this little rivulet of smoke that comes. And then a little bit of a flame. And then you got a flame. Just by holding that lens of the magnifying glass in the right place. So that's the mind. There's this merciful arrangement for each one of us, but our mind is all over the place. And so that igniting of our inner contentment, inner peace, inner happiness, resourcing that sacred space within us, we're out of touch with it because our mind is all over the place. It's accessible. It's within every one of us. But we've got this more, faster, consume, compete, enjoy, this other thing going on that's agitating our minds. So the configuration of matter is very agitating. It doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be like that. So if we change the approach and the things that we, the standards of happiness and the things that we value and how we then accordingly lead our lives, it makes a huge difference individually. And then, you know, with our close friends, and then with, you know, expanding out how we impact the world with the quality that we carry inside us. The quality of life changes if the quality of consciousness changes. And it's a choice everyone can make if they want to. And there are teachings that one of the sharings of this group that came from Penn State, it was a powerful experience for me. It was very, very challenging because I didn't know what they wanted and how to help provide what they wanted. But once we provided what they wanted, it just took off. There was a freshman she's going to major in astrophysics. And she said, you know, not only her sharing at the end was, not only my career is something that people think is weird, I even sometimes wonder, you know, why astrophysics? But the values that I hold in my life, I also think, you know, maybe I'm just weird. But, you know, hearing what I've heard, it's not only not weird, it's like standard. And there's all this wealth of treasure of understanding of how to reach there. And there's a path. And there's other people that are going on that path. And I'm like so excited. I feel validated. It was really nice. You know, very short girl, little, petite, energetic, bright person. There's a real place where if we understand what real progress is, it's already within us. It just needs to be brought out. And it doesn't mean don't do your academics and don't have, you know, it's not a series of don'ts. It's a matter of where your focus goes. And do all those things. Have all the relationships and be happy. But be happy based on something that's within. Then it's not greed and lust and control and proprietorship and competition and hatred and frustration and exploitation. All those ugly things. When you lose that space, you lose that inner sacred space, then these other things, behaviors and configurations and matter start going in that direction. And we don't want it. But we keep doing it. Keep doing the same things. It's a problem. Yeah.
If you, you know, use yoga and meditation and so on to, you know, expand your inner space and all that, wouldn't getting, like, you know, consuming goods and buying more things and stuff, wouldn't that just add to your sense of enjoyment? Would you necessarily want to stop, you know, focusing on achieving external things just because you've been able to achieve internal happiness?
There would be less for sure, but the human nature is still there. I mean, we still have we're not only souls, we have bodies and minds, and we have needs for the bodies and minds. So we do things for the body and the mind, but it's proportionate to what we need, not disproportionate due to the absence of that inner sanctity. Oh, I can't imagine, personally, I can't imagine being a not active person. I'm a very active person, maybe too active. But, and I, you know, I have a computer, and I drive a car. And, you know, I do things, but each of the things that I do and have, it's very purposeful. It's that which is, my decision is, what's going to enhance self-realization? If the answer is not to enhance self-realization, I don't need it. I'm consuming, I'm buying and producing. But it's with a spiritual orientation. And my interaction with others is likewise. It certainly, just to be honest and straightforward, this message is not good for the gross national product. But it will lead to a more stable and sustainable economy. Where and a more sense of sharing and caring. Not just because it's nice, because it's nice to be nice. It is nice to be nice, but for a deeper reason. Following me? Yeah. Somebody sent me a little video clip, a 6-minute clip of some 12-year-old girl addressing a group of international people that assembled in Brazil. I don't even know what the conference was. But she stood up in front of these people and said, basically, you know, you're leading, you're the adults and we're the youth, and you're leading us down the wrong path. Please lead us down the right path. You know what the right path is, but you don't do it. You tell us what the right path is and you expect us to do it, but you don't do it. My dad taught me words are cheap. One can really judge a person by actions, but the actions that I see you guys are doing, it's, you know, it's, you're phonies. She didn't use exactly that word, but it's, you're hypocrites. Make decisions that are going to create a better future for us. We're dependent upon you. We're kids. One day we're going to be adults, and I hope that we're in the seats that you're in, that we're going to be speaking the same message and doing the same, thinking these same thoughts. If something happens between idealism and realism. So, this message is a bit, I'm excited. I hope it's okay with you, or with all of you. But, individually, we can make a difference. But it's not just by changing things out there, it starts with you. But then, yes, it's not the same, you know, it's not Walmarts and all the things that, Targets and things that people think they need. But it's things that people need. The message isn't become, you know, an Amish, although their lifestyle is great. But whatever necessities are there that lend to going more deeply to that sacred space within us and sharing that same opportunity with other people. And so, spend time, create, produce. Let that be our economy. And things that people need for survival. Sustainable agriculture is a big deal. When the oil prices were going up, and therefore commodities prices were going up, even good old Americans were being impacted. What to speak of some countries that don't have wealth and they were starving. So what's going to happen when the oil runs out? Problem. Head for the hills. It's going to get wild. Somebody should be thinking ahead of time. Hopefully some persons here in the room. Any thoughts? Or questions? I hope I haven't intimidated you all. Okay.
Okay, well, thank you very much for speaking. And,